Hello and welcome to another edition of Eight More Miles, the Louisville Metro Council District 8 podcast. This is Councilman Brandon Cohn. We are recording the show today, Wednesday, August the 28th, and I'm really happy to introduce a special guest in all the way from Frankfort. My guest today is Kentucky Commissioner of Agriculture, Ryan Quarles. Ryan, thank you for being on the show.
Thank you, Councilman. Honored to be here. Glad to talk a little bit about agriculture in downtown Louisville.
Well, that's great. And now I have to give sort of a special tip of the hat to Louisville Public Media. Commissioner Quarles is actually in town for an event tonight. This is Wednesday the 28th at Mile Wide Brewery with Rylan Barton to talk about probably more political issues and that sort of a thing than I'd imagine some of the policy issues we'll be talking about on the show, but it should be a great event. I think you'll have a great time.
Yeah, I hope so. And of course, with breweries, we're actually trying to connect some of our farmers with the craft beer industry.
Yeah,
so,
right.
It's an economic development initiative as well.
Yeah, I was going to ask about beer and the Department of Agriculture. So we'll jump right into this. Some listeners might be thinking to themselves, I live in the Highlands neighborhood of Louisville, probably one of the most urbanized areas in the entire state. What does the State Commissioner of Agriculture have to do with my life, and why am I listening to this podcast? So for folks who don't know about the Department of Ag or you, why don't you just tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, you know, sort of your career, and tell us a little bit about the Department of Agriculture.
Sure. Well, as Kentucky's native son Wendell Berry once said, if you eat, you're part of the agriculture industry. And so at the Department of Agriculture, we affect Kentuckians more than just three times a day. We're also a consumer protection agency. We're beyond agriculture advocacy. If you were to buy gas at a gas pump, if you were to fly out of Louisville Airport, if you were to buy meat at a deli, if you were to rent an inflatable or attend the Kentucky State Fair and ride a Ferris wheel, it's the Kentucky Department of Agriculture that plays a consumer protection role. But my background, I grew up on a family farm. Kentucky has 76,000 family farms. They're actually small businesses owned and operated by families. And my family's been farming in Kentucky since 1789. I'm the ninth generation of my family to be involved in agriculture in some capacity. And so when I went on to University of Kentucky, College of Agriculture, I did the same thing that my dad did and my brother did, and that was study ag with some interest in production, but also policymaking. I was fortunate. I had a mother who was a teacher. And I always have a special place in my heart for teachers. And my dad was always involved in the ag community, advocating for farmers. And so I also had a public service interest. And so actually, when you and I went to law school together at University of Kentucky, I started testing the political waters. And I did something really stupid and crazy in 2010 during my third year of law school. And I decided to run for the state legislature and was very blessed to have won that race and spent three terms in Frankfort as a legislator. But then in 2015, statewide office opened up for Commissioner of Agriculture, and this is a dream job of mine. And since I was a little kid, I saw other commissioners like Commissioner Billy Ray Smith work at the Kentucky State Fair, encourage young Kentuckians when they're showing livestock or participating in ag events that you can do your best and it can lead to a career. And so I took another risk in 2015, ran statewide, and been very blessed the last couple of years to really work on some issues I care deeply about. And agriculture is something very special in Kentucky. A lot of Kentuckians can identify with farm roots. Their family may have worked in agriculture. And there are some things in Kentucky you will not find in other states, whether it's our bourbon, our racehorse industry, or Colonel Sanders. Those are all agriculture products that are identified with the Commonwealth of Kentucky.
Yeah, and you know, you touched on a lot of, I made a lot of notes on my notepad here where you made a lot of references about things I wanted to ask you later. For people that were listening, we did go to law school together and we're about the same age. And so even though we have different backgrounds and grew up in different places, a lot of the people that I grew up here with Louisville and that live in the Highlands area, even though we might not have any direct family farm connection, feel a really strong connection to our local food economy. You mentioned Wendell Berry, who was a hero of mine and is a hero to so many people in this community, not only as a man of literature, but as a man of agriculture first and foremost. And I think that we have a lot more in common in terms of, you know, sort of city dwellers and urban dwellers and rural dwellers in this community that we often read about or hear about or think about. And I was wondering if you had any sort of high-level impressions about Louisvillians or maybe people in Lexington and city folks' connection and their, you know,
absolutely.
Is it palpable that we care about state and agriculture as well?
Oh, absolutely. You know, Louisville is leading the local food movement, just not just in Kentucky, but nationwide. There's a lot of people who come to Louisville for, say, the Derby. They'll come here to tour for whatever reason, maybe some bourbon distilleries, but they come here for the food too. And it's so important to give thanks to those restaurants who not only embrace Kentucky Proud, but are also highlighting individual farmers from across the state. So it's not uncommon for me to have a dinner in Louisville, look at the menu, and actually know the farmers that are highlighted on that menu. And that's something that Louisville was ahead of the game with. Your all's public officials have been very vocal about that and supportive of that. And a lot of times when I meet Kentuckians who live in Lexington or live in Louisville, they didn't grow up there. They moved there from maybe a rural county in Kentucky. And chances are they have some agriculture roots, whether it's their parents or their grandparents. Mm-hmm. And so as a Kentuckian, even if you didn't grow up on a farm, there's a lot of people who can identify with it because it's part of our heritage, it's part of our tradition. And each year, Kentucky gets 2 minutes of free press around the world, the fastest 2 minutes in sports. And we get to celebrate everything that is agriculture right here in downtown Louisville.
We talk a lot in Louisville sort of about our local food economy. We think of our connection to rural places and to farmers through sort of the consumer-producer model, which is, and there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing sort of pejorative about being a consumer.
Hopefully you're looking towards local farmers or using Kentucky Proud, and Louisville has a vibrant farmers market community. It's real. It's not a novelty. My uncle sells the Louisville Farmers Market, and you can see those locations all across our city. And we just want to say thank you because there's the consumers here are very appreciative of not only buying local, but getting to know those farmers as well. And that's something that we're seeing in other counties. We have farmers markets now in about 115, give or take, of our 120 counties. But it all started with Louisville, Lexington, and Northern Kentucky. To show that it can work, to show that there's things we can improve upon, to show that yes, even if you have unfortunate circumstances, we're going to make sure your EBT card or there may be some other opportunities for those less fortunate to be able to go buy local and buy the food that the rest of Kentuckians enjoy.
Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, I'm starting to talk about local food economy. Food justice is sort of also, I'd say, the flip side of the food conversation that we have here in Louisville. But let me stick on economy for a minute. And I worked in Mayor Fisher's office when he first came into office and spent a lot of time working on developing some of the sort of the underlying local food and agriculture policies that this administration does have in place. And as we studied the state of Kentucky and the city of Louisville and our demand for food and for farm-bought food, it seemed like infrastructure was sort of the great, big, expensive, missing piece to a distribution system that allowed us to go from where we are now in terms of the amount and the variety of products that ship from farm to market to a system that's exponentially more efficient and productive. Can you talk a little bit about sort of, you know,
absolutely,
is that a fundamental barrier, the system of distribution and agglomeration and value adding? And, you know, where are we big picture?
One of the biggest issues for farmers, no matter where you're at, no matter where you're in Kentucky, the United States, is the ability to move that crop from the farm to the market. Mm-hmm. The average distance food travels from the farm gate to the dinner plate is 1,500 miles until it reaches your home. So in Kentucky, we try to reduce that. And a lot of times it means literally linking up a farmer with a restaurant, a farmer with a farmer's market, or better yet, what we're working on right now is working with our school systems. Chances are the school system is the largest buyer of food in every single county in Kentucky. There are a lot of regulations, a lot of them are at the federal level, that prevent local farmers from getting access to a big buyer. And that's something we're trying to systematically chip away at the Department of Agriculture. We're also have an emphasis on marketing. A lot of farmers are really good at growing crops and raising livestock, but they might need a little help with marketing their produce. And that's something we've been helping out a lot at the Department of Agriculture with our Office of Marketing, using Kentucky Proud, that powerful marketing symbol, where 80% of Kentuckians know when they see Kentucky Proud, they are supporting a local farmer or agribusiness. And so whether it's helping a farmer decide, instead of selling the cow to go off to market and go out in the Midwest, maybe we finish it out here in Kentucky and have a freezer beef operation. Or right now in Kroger in Louisville, you can buy a 100% Kentucky Proud ground beef product that was raised by Kentucky farmers, processed in Eastern Kentucky, and distributed in Louisville. And that's something we're really proud of at the Department of Ag. is trying to disrupt the business model and keep agriculture as local as possible.
I know that, well, you know, I don't know this, but correct me. Kentucky was once obviously a massively dependent on tobacco for our farm revenues. And I think we're still the second biggest producer
of tobacco.
That's
right. It used to be a $1 billion crop in the 90s. 85,000 Kentuckians grew tobacco at its peak. Now about 4,000 people grow it. But it's still a top five commodity for us, but it's not a crop that it once was.
And so is the transition for most Kentucky farmers from tobacco farmers to something else farmers, is that complete? Or are we still sort of... Now, I mean, I realize there are some people that grow tobacco, but in terms of being able to successfully transition their mm-hmm. land and their skills, we're still... I mean, can you put in a percentage
It depends on the farmer.
Okay.
Kentucky's done a great job of investing and diversifying agriculture. In our state, I like to say this a lot, unlike in the Midwest where agriculture may be three or four different commodity crops, here mm-hmm. in Kentucky, we grow everything from apples to zucchinis and everything in between. It's mm-hmm. not uncommon to see at the latest count about 400 different crops and livestock enterprises in Kentucky, meaning you can find goats, you can find sheep. We have people growing indigo. We have people growing the largest chia farm in North America is in Kentucky. We're bringing back crops like industrial hemp, canaf. We have hops growers here just outside of Louisville feeding the craft beer industry. And so you're seeing a lot of diversity here that you don't see in other states. And when you add up all the economic activity of Kentucky agriculture, it may come to a surprise to you, but we punch above our weight class and we're responsible for over $45 billion economic activity here in Kentucky.
Wow. I mean, it doesn't surprise me. And I think that, people in Louisville are proud of Kentucky's farm yeah. heritage, whether or not they live in my neighborhood or not.
And another thing Louisville has that makes us proud in the ag community, whether or not you're from Louisville or far west Kentucky, is that Louisville is home to three signature ag events each year. We just wrapped up the Kentucky State Fair. Mm-hmm. Great attendance, went well. It's a top state fair in America, held right next to the airport. Secondly, the National Farm Machinery Show is held in Louisville each February. It's like the Detroit Auto Show for John Deere and Case IH, where the latest and greatest in ag technology comes to Louisville, not somewhere else. They come to Louisville to highlight what's the latest and greatest. And of course, the largest livestock event in the world that's dedicated to purebreds is in Louisville. A lot of people here don't even realize that, but the North American International Livestock event is held each November here in Louisville. Yeah, it brings people from around the world.
I think the latter two conventions you mentioned are two of Louisville's larger conventions mm-hmm. that have been here year in and year out and have multi-million dollar mm-hmm. economic impact. So that's true. What I was going to say about the tobacco economy mm-hmm. is that this connection between the city and the countryside dates back to tobacco, because
yes.
tobacco was raised all over the state, and there was actually this tremendous distribution network of collecting it and mm-hmm. bundling it and then getting it to the cities where once upon a time, Louisville had many tobacco companies that were headquartered here,
mm-hmm.
manufacturing plants that employed hundreds and thousands of people. You know, the Philip mm-hmm. Morris plant in West Louisville is one that people remember. And so we've seen sort of people in the city's fortunes rise and fall with Kentucky's farmers' fortunes. And, I'm not a smoker. I wish less people would smoke, and I don't really want to get in on that sort of tangent. But I guess my point or my question is this. If we had this incredible system to get tobacco from farm to market, have we been able to use those same pieces of infrastructure and those same systems and mechanisms to get food to market in the way that we were talking about?
Oh,
earlier?
Absolutely. I think that we have a great infrastructure, a presence already there, whether it be roads or waterways. Kentucky is heavily dependent on international trade. There's a reason why our grain farmers are top 15 in the nation, because it's easier for us to get our corn and soybeans on the barges on the Ohio River and get it to an export market. Another thing we're working on right now is the next phase of infrastructure, and that's access to high-speed broadband internet across rural Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
And my big point is that you can't run a modern business unless you're connected. And that's something we're working with other agencies on to try to help promote in rural Kentucky. But we have a lot to be proud of. We talk about distribution, but we're also focusing on adding value to our agricultural products.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in years past, we may have just stopped when the farmer got the crop out of the field or finished off the livestock. But now we're trying to keep it in Kentucky. So if you've ever had a biscuit from McDonald's anywhere in the East Coast of the United States, that biscuit was processed in Kentucky. If you've ever ordered sausage from any Cracker Barrel in the United States, that sausage was processed just outside of Louisville and Simpsonville. Mm-hmm. We were even processing crops that aren't even grown here. The world's largest peanut butter processing plant is in Lexington. Mm-hmm. And so these are the things we're proud of. We're trying to keep those agriculture jobs here. And a lot of people are surprised to learn that agriculture is responsible for 1 in 5 jobs. And here in Kentucky, about 200,000 jobs are directly attributed to Kentucky's ag economy.
You mentioned the importance of marketing in agriculture mm-hmm. today, and I guess ag marketing is one of the divisions of your department.
That's right.
Can you and people are familiar with Kentucky Proud. It's ubiquitous. I think it's been a campaign that's gone on for a long time, and people are aware of it, which mm-hmm. means it's working. Is there anything sort of new or different that you all are doing in the ag marketing space in order to sort of increase the amount of Kentucky bought product and consumed here in the
Absolutely.
State?
Absolutely. We're doing a couple things. One is we have a buy local project where we've leveraged that powerful marketing logo of Kentucky Proud, and we're focusing on the distributors, those who have connections with restaurants, with grocery stores, the ones that move a lot of volume of food. We like to work directly with them to help move more Kentucky Proud products and get them in front of consumers. That's one project that we're doing right now. Another one is international trade. Mm-hmm. We have spent a lot of my time in the past 2 years in office focusing strategically and surgically on specific ag products that we can export. For example, until this past November, it was illegal to export Kentucky Proud horses, racehorses, to China. Hmm. After 2 years worth of work and working across 2 presidential administrations, I was on hand in Beijing with Ambassador Branstad back in November to sign a trade protocol which reopened the market. And within 1 month, we had 30 Kentucky Proud horses on the way to China. Many of those have connections with Churchill Downs, the training infrastructure you have here. And so that's an example of where when we identify a specific ag product, whether it be horses or a country ham that we can export around the world, maybe through UPS right here or DHL right here in Louisville, we're going to go after that aggressively.
Mm-hmm. Just sort of as a tangent, is Louisville and the Louisville area, is it sort of horse country too? I mean, we went to school, and you're from Central Kentucky, which is really iconic horse country, and the farms in the heart of the bluegrass are unlike what we have here, sort of at the edge along the river. But people that live in Louisville and out along Oldham County and Shelby County mm-hmm. and surrounding areas, you know, see a number of horse
right.
of horse farms and horse operations too. What is the sort of the horse scene in the Louisville metropolitan area?
Yeah, so you know, thoroughbreds have a breeding competitive advantage in Central Kentucky and mm-hmm. Lexington. Although there's are plenty of great operations here in Louisville, but in the Louisville area, you see a lot of quarter horses, which is the largest horse breed in the world. And of course, the saddlebred capital of the world is just next door in Shelby County. Mm-hmm. And last week, I was there with William Shatner and thousands of other people watching the World Championship Horse Show, which is held during the Kentucky State Fair. And so you got to look at more than just the thoroughbred industry. And Louisville definitely has a presence, especially with the saddlebred industry mm-hmm. when it comes to celebrating the top of the top. And if you have not had a chance to go watch a saddlebred competition, come to the state fair next year, and you can literally see people from around the world competing in Louisville for the top-notch prizes.
That's, you know, when I start to talk about sort of these bedroom communities of Louisville and the surrounding counties, it also begs a question and something that I'm very interested in, sort of the question of land conservation,
yeah.
protecting fields and forests and farms. And you mentioned 76,000 family farms in Kentucky. Now, I know that number is down from the mid-80,000s,
sure.
maybe less than 10 years ago. And you probably have the statistic that talks about how many family farms there were in Kentucky, you know, 25 or 50 years ago. And obviously, the numbers are way down.
Sure.
I guess,
you see nationwide.
Sure.
But it's important that we have an eye towards conservation. Every farmer I meet or every farmer I know is conservation oriented. It's mm-hmm. in our best interest to keep that soil in good health. So I'm ninth generation. I hope that the 10th generation of my family inherits a farm and soil that's in better shape than we have it. But it's also important to have a relationship between the urban and rural community when it comes to development. In Kentucky, you know, we're fortunate that farmers are conservation oriented to begin with. They want to pass that farm down to the next generation in a better shape than what they inherited. But Kentucky is also a growing state. I come from Scott County. It's the fastest growing county in the state. We've been blessed with a lot of manufacturing jobs. And so there are a lot of discussions across Kentucky about what is the appropriate relationship between development and protecting green space. And one cool thing that we've got in our department is conservation easement management.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, land use policy and politics is always kind of fraught at every level, and it's welcomed with various degrees or not welcomed with various degrees of, you know, sort of whatever's going on. I happen to sort of be an unabashed conservationist, and I know that the USDA at the federal level, mm-hmm. the US Forest Service, for example, is actually within the purview of that department, even though national right. parks are with the Interior and that sort of a thing. So is the level of conservation, it's not really concentrated in your department? Is that mostly found somewhere else, Department of Natural Resources?
Well, most of it is our federal programs that okay. are sometimes administered by the state, and we do manage that one conservation easement program.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, the ag community works together. A lot of times there's a consensus building when there's an opportunity to, say, have a farm donated for research purposes, which we just saw down in Western Kentucky. That's a win-win for us. But it's also important to realize a lot of farmers do not have Roth IRAs. They don't have retirement accounts.
Right.
They have spent the better part of 40, 50, 60 years of their life paying off that farm. That mm-hmm. may be the only retirement asset that they have. And so, you know, it's always the conversation about what the appropriate use of that land is. But I will say this, and you probably see it too. When people come visit Kentucky, they're always blown away by how beautiful our state is mm-hmm. and how well-kept our farms are.
Yeah. The other sort of flip side of land conservation that I know the USDA deals with at a federal level, and my question is whether you do or not at the state level, is rural development.
That's right.
Sort of economic development programs that are specifically tailored to small rural communities. Mm-hmm. Do you all handle that in your department, or is that something that's handled elsewhere in the state government?
Well, it's kind of a combination of three entities. We often serve as the end point, the entry point for people looking to expand jobs or a new agribusiness, et cetera. But the Cabinet of Economic Development are the ones that actually offer the incentives. Mm-hmm. And then there's the separate federal program through USDA Rural Development
sure.
that actually administers the federal program. So a lot of times it's a meeting with the three of us to try to figure out what exactly an individual or company wants to do. But we are very aggressive about treating agriculture no differently than other industries in Kentucky, because mm-hmm. sometimes there's a stigma attached to agriculture, unfortunately. And we want to turn that around and let people know that when a farm expands or an agribusiness cuts a ribbon on their, say, an expansion, it's no different than GE Compliance Park or the airport expanding here or a new announcement by UPS.
Can you talk a little bit about what level of government there is relating to agriculture in Louisville and Jefferson County? So, like, for example, you know, we do have someone in city government who helps be a public interest broker, like mm-hmm. you talked about, matching supply and demand with farmers and end users. But we don't have there's not a local Department of Agriculture with
right.
a big staff and a big budget. We do have the Soil and Water Conservation District.
That's
I
right.
guess the University of Kentucky Agriculture Co-op has a presence
That's
in
right.
Jefferson mm-hmm. County and other places. Do you have offices here? Who's here to help Louisvillians with their sort of agriculture?
We don't have an office here at Department of Ag, but I'm impressed with your knowledge that Jefferson County does have a cooperative extension office, which serves not just the ag community, but also does a lot of urban programs with nutrition.
Mm-hmm.
There is always a soil conservation board as well that every county has that actually makes sure that Jefferson County complies with federal issues that kind of go back to Dust Bowl era policy. And of course, you have an active Farm Bureau chapter here in Jefferson County, too. A lot of people are surprised by that. But once you get out past the Gene Snyder, like, you'll see a lot of farmland that is just as productive as the rest of Kentucky. And that's something that I'm proud of. And whenever I get a chance to speak in Louisville, whether it be with Rotary or Chamber of Commerce, I always try to remind them, you have a lot to be proud of right here within the city limits.
Yeah, and, you know, I hope we can preserve some of it. There's obviously development pressures out there. It's beautiful land. Mm-hmm. It's near a developing park system. And mm-hmm. as the county continues to grow, is that something that we're going to have to grapple with, as we talked about before? Let's talk a little bit about your division of food distribution.
Yeah.
And you sort of alluded earlier to the mission of feeding hungry people.
That's right.
I know that's something I've read without knowing in much detail, that that's something that's really important to you. And when you came into office, you made a part of your mission to feed hungry people with some of the good stuff that we grow here in the state. People shouldn't have to go hungry.
Absolutely. When I became Commissioner of Agriculture, I was blessed to represent an industry with an abundance of food, but it may come to a surprise to you and others that 1 in 6 Kentuckians and 1 in 5 Kentucky school children are food insecure, meaning they don't know where the next meal may be coming from. And so I've spent a lot of time the past 2 years developing what we like to call the Kentucky Hunger Initiative, a first-of-its-kind effort that brought together everyone in the food production system, from that farmer who put the seed in the ground to our grocery stores, our food banks, charitable community, our church community, and even our restaurants, where 40% of all prepared food is thrown into a trash can each day. We can do a better job. We've changed the state law. Kentucky now has the strongest food donation law in America. We had some agriculture lending institutions donate 156 chest freezers to local food pantries because we found out that there were food pantries that were actually refusing donations of milk or meat because they didn't have a proper refrigerator to store it.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing systematic, practical things to try to chip away at food insecurity in Kentucky. And it's an area we have a long way to go, but I'm so proud that the ag community is stepping up to the plate. And just as recently as this year, we've had pork donated from the pork producers. We've got beef being donated from the Kentucky Cattlemen's Association. And so we're trying to not only fix our laws and regulations, but also develop a culture of giving among the ag community for those less fortunate.
Can you talk a little bit about what you're doing in Louisville specifically? I know that the challenge is sort of different around the state in sort of the far spread out reaches mm-hmm. of the state. Delivering food to people and locating people is a problem, whereas here in Louisville, for example, just the huge amount of people with the need mm-hmm. is a problem. Is there anything you can point to specifically in Jefferson County where you all have instituted something?
We had regional meetings when we got this started, actually 10 of them across the state, and we quickly realized that what may work in West Kentucky may not work in downtown Louisville. One thing that Louisville does great is that you've got Dare to Care, which is mm-hmm. the umbrella organization for food banks. You have a lot of pantries that are doing well. But one thing we're doing specifically in Louisville this past summer is that these summer feeding sites, these students and kids that often qualify for free and reduced lunch during the school year, well, guess what? They're hungry during the summer as well. And
right.
so we actually developed a program where we specifically encourage those summer feeding sites to buy Kentucky Proud produce for those summertime meals. So I'm interested in seeing the results of that program. We did it in other parts of the state too, but we really pushed it in Louisville this past summer because the need is so great.
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously that's an area, and you mentioned EBT payments and other ways of sort yep. of reducing some of the barriers there that continues to be a huge issue in this town. So if we can work on that in any way together in the future, please know that I'm interested. We're starting to run out of time. I had a few more questions for you. I see that the state veterinarian office
yeah.
or the division of the state vet is also in the Department of Agriculture. I learned that we do not have a veterinary school in the state of Kentucky.
Correct.
Under an arrangement with Auburn, which I guess has a really good veterinary school.
And Tuskegee. We have guaranteed slots there each year.
We send 38 or 40
That's right.
vets down there to become trained because we obviously have a huge need for it. Where I was going to go with this is I know this is a pain point. Kentucky has gotten bad marks in terms of animal welfare rankings in the past. And I'm an animal lover, and so that's, whether we're talking about someone's pet, dog or cat, or whether mm-hmm. farm animals or that kind of a thing. And in fact, I read a story in the news today that some people, because the opioid problem is so bad, they're abusing their animals and taking them to the vets to try to get opioids. Can you just comment a little bit about just sort of, the importance of animal welfare and what the state veterinary office does and just sort of
sure.
your views on that? I mean, obviously, someone who's grown up on the farm and farmers have a lot of respect but almost
sure.
exclusively for animals
mm-hmm.
and realize that they're not just, nameless, faceless products, that
sure.
they come from the earth and they're sort of part of our community, too.
Well, we're part of the mission Department of Ag is to have jurisdiction over disease issues when it comes to livestock and the transportation of that. So we have a wonderful office of state veterinarian who goes out there and works livestock shows. We also develop protocols if and when there may be a disease outbreak in Kentucky. We also field some complaints from time to time about animal welfare issues. We take that very seriously,
mm-hmm.
and especially in production agriculture. Study after study shows that livestock that are treated well with certain standards are going to be more productive. And
right.
you probably heard the phrase happy cows. You know, that when you have a dairy farm where the cow comfort matters, you're going to have better quality milk at the end of the day. We do interact with local law enforcement occasionally when asked to give an opinion when it comes to animal welfare investigations. But we work closely with county prosecutors
mm-hmm.
And local law enforcement with that.
Yeah. It's good to hear. A couple final questions. There's an urban farming trend in some Rust Belt cities across the country. Detroit sort of famously has been very successful mm-hmm. with reclaiming a bunch of vacant land. But, you know, in a lot of ways, Louisville is no different than Detroit or mm-hmm. Cleveland or St. Louis in terms of our economy and our inner cities. What does the state think about urban farming and the potential for it to, clearly, if it's not going to feed huge sections of the populace, as a way to be an education tool and a demonstration tool and to help maybe reclaim some land that is troubled sure. in city places. Is urban farming on your old radar?
It is. And 2 points here. At Department of Agriculture, particularly underneath my administration, we believe that there's room at the table for everybody in all sorts of agriculture, big or small. And secondly, what gets me excited about urban ag is that it gives us an opportunity to tell our story, talk about the positive things about agriculture, and who knows, you might inspire a young person to choose agriculture as a career because it does involve science, technology, engineering, and math. And that's why we work closely with some school systems to not only have demonstration plots on site, but we actually have 3 education trailers that we drag across Kentucky and bring education into the classroom almost every single calendar year, school year day across Kentucky. And so we take that very seriously, and we're proud to have financial support from other ag commodity groups to make sure we're educating consumers about where their food comes from.
And you mentioned urban farming also has to do with gardening. They're sort of related yeah. on a smaller scale. And we have a robust gardening community here, a very active school garden network, Slow Food Bluegrass, and other nonprofit advocacy groups that are working on this kind of thing. But before we went on the air, you said that you were involved somehow in the Botanical Gardens project at the waterfront.
That's right.
Tell us a little bit about what you're doing down there.
Right now, as Botanical Gardens come back to life, we are working with them to make sure Kentucky Proud has a presence. And so we're actually sponsoring a garden or two out there. One's a pollinator garden that talks about the importance of pollinators such as bees in the ecosystem, but also a garden where people can come from around Louisville and get their hands dirty. It's okay to get your hands dirty in farming. And so it's an opportunity for us to help bring the Kentucky Department of Ag and Kentucky Proud to a site that I think is going to get a lot of visitation in years to come.
Yeah, I think I saw that you have a state apiarist.
That's right, state beekeeper.
On your staff, state beekeeper. That's a really exciting thing. My last question, because you're getting pulled out of here. You're on your way to the Mile Wide Brewery, which for my money has some of the best locally made beer in the city and in the state and in the region, and a place where there's a lot of good beer. Beer is a Kentucky Proud product, or it's a local agricultural product, value added. Tell us just a little bit about what's going on in beer in Kentucky, and then we'll let you get out the door and maybe have one before you have to start your event.
Beer, like bourbon, is expanding right now in Kentucky, and it's expanding across nationwide. Kentucky has over 40 craft breweries right now, and they're wanting to buy local. And so when I campaigned in 2015, I said, we're going to try something different. We're going to try to bring back hops to Kentucky. Mm-hmm. Hops used to be grown all over the place before Prohibition. And right now we have 16 commercial hops growers in Kentucky. We're teaming up using Kentucky Proud to launch a craft beer series that's Kentucky Proud, whether or not it be hops or fruits or pawpaw plants, blackberries. Mm-hmm. And the economic impact of craft beer is big. It's over $600 million each year right here in Kentucky. And so as Ag Commissioner, we have identified a growing market where some of our farmers, not all, will be able to benefit. And so we're going to continue to connect our farm community with not just craft beer, but also the bourbon industry that's growing as well.
Well, we're going to let you go. I really appreciate your time. I think agriculture is our common heritage in this state, whether you live in Louisville, whether
Absolutely.
You live in Western Kentucky, whether you live in Central Eastern Kentucky. And I hope that we can continue to honor that mm-hmm. no matter where we live and no matter kind of what we do. And I hope that Frankfurt and you all can remember that you really have a strong partner with really deep interest in Louisville. So
Absolutely.
Whether it's working on hunger or whether it's working on increasing the local food economy, call mm-hmm. on us.
Hey, we're happy to partner with Louisville. Like I said at the beginning of the interview, if you eat, you're part of the agriculture economy.
Okay, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Kentucky Commissioner of Agriculture, Ryan Quarles. Thanks for listening to 8 More Miles, the Louisville Metro Council District 8 podcast. I'm Councilman Brandon Cohn. Please stay in touch with our office. Visit our website at www.tinyurl.com/cmcohnd8. And once you're there, please subscribe and stay informed to receive our biweekly e-newsletter.